Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We are so glad you're here this morning. Hey, just a few quick things that I think we fail to mention often enough is that all of the proceeds from our cafe go to support our missionaries. So if that maybe entices you a little bit more, let that happen. But we want you to know that it totally supports our missionaries. And we have other ways that we support our missionaries. You'll hear more about that in the next couple weeks. But on your chair when you came in was an invite card. The reason we print these out, have them printed out, is so that you can invite someone to church. And it's a non-threatening way to do that. So grab one of those, take it, invite somebody to church. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about focusing on what matters most. And we're going to start that conversation today about talking about focusing on what matters most. But I want to look back if we can, because this year, we turned 10 years old as a church. Can you believe it? How many of you have been with us 10 years? Since the beginning. That's right. Anyone else? How about 9 years? No. Anthony? Just us, bro. I see that. Yes. Yeah, Doug. That's right. Dude, you were the... Man... We're old, Doug. We're much older. 8 years. Got a few. All right. 7. Getting closer. Reuben. 7 years. Man. Martin Cardenas. Drug you to church. He has a drug problem. He got drugged to church. No. He brought him to church, invited him. He was a drill sergeant instructor at Fort Jackson, and gave his heart to the Lord, and man, 7 years ago, what a powerful, and then met Mary, the best thing that ever happened to you. How about 6 years? All right, Robin. Yeah. And the Hoods, is it 6 years? 6 years. 5? We're getting closer. Mary's 5 years, so it took a little while for you to meet Mary. 4 years? All right, 5, Emily? 4 years. 3 years? We're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. 2 years? All right. 1 year? How about like in the last year? All right. Some of you, your arms are broken because I didn't see your arms go up at all. You're just wondering, where am I, right? Today's my first Sunday. But hey, we're turning 10 years old this year. I thought, wow, this is crazy, you know, 10 years. What an amazing, amazing experience that we have had in 10 years. 12 years ago, the Lord began to speak to Robin and I about planting a church. We were living in Florida, and why would God move us from Florida? Well, we don't really care for Florida, to be first of all, but that's why. But the Lord had put it in our hearts, actually, way before that, to come back to Columbia. But 12 years ago, the Lord started to stir our hearts about planting a church. We were missionaries. We were just home for a year to raise our funds and to get back to Austria to serve as missionaries and to do what God had called us to do. And through that time of being here in the States and traveling around, the Lord just began to birth something inside of our hearts, this dream and this vision and this picture that I had in my head of a church. It was something that I had never seen before. I had preached in about 150 different churches. That's a lot of churches. And of all of those churches that I was in and I had the opportunity to preach, sometimes maybe just a 10-minute little window sharing what we were doing, but most of them I actually preached a sermon and got to be with the people. And I got to experience a lot of what's happening in church. And I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of things that disturbed me and scared me. But I didn't have to worry about that because I was a missionary and I was going back to Austria. It's like, yes, your problem. But in the process of traveling around, God said, no, that's something I want you to you to take care of. I want you to be a part of. I want you to be a part of something and changing something. And change can be scary, right? You know, and so we had this idea and this picture that God had given us of a church, but we had never experienced that before. And so all of the pieces came into play. Everything fell into place. There was a lot of steps of faith. There was a lot of process involved. It wasn't easy. How many of you know it's not easy following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there's just a lot of unknown, right? And it requires faith. It requires trust. And, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to... And I remember sharing with Robin one day, and she hates when I tell the story, but I was sharing with Robin one day about this church and what's going to happen and these people. And she said, where are these people going to come from? I'm like, you know, first of all, I said, wow, Debbie Downer, thank you. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's the only time she's ever rained on my parade, and she's never done it again since. But she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. But it was like, where does this happen? How does something come out of nothing? And who knows, but God does it, right? God's able to do that. And so we moved back to Columbia, South Carolina. Bought a home just less than a mile away. And, you know, the first thing God told me was to pastor your neighborhood first. So I'm like, I've never thought of that. So everybody in my neighborhood was a part of Vive Church. So there was a Vive Church before Vive Church. It's at Villages at Lakeshore. And so we just started having neighbors over to our house, and we had dinner. And on Wednesday nights, we would have 30 to 40 people every Wednesday night in our house. We would move the furniture. We'd set up plastic tables. And our carpet got trashed within 1 year. Brand new house. But we had such a blast. It was such an amazing time of just sharing what God had put in our hearts. And I remember that first group, and I would sit by the fireplace, and the living room was open. Some of you have been to that house. And I would just share this vision that God had put inside of our hearts of a church. And as I shared it, people would look at me like they were like a dog looks at a new dish, you know. It's like, like, how's that gonna happen? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's gonna happen. You know, it's like, that's faith. You know, you just, I have no clue. God's gonna do it. And I've learned that God does do it. You know, He does provide. And when He puts something in your heart to do, He brings it to pass. And we started meeting in our home. That was around the fall of 2009. And then the summer of 2010, we actually started meeting in this building. This building was a huge blessing. We didn't know when the Lord began to stir it in our hearts that this building was even here or available or what, you know. But, you know, we're part of the Assemblies of God. My credentials as an ordained minister is with the Assemblies of God. And I didn't know that the Assemblies of God had a building here in Northeast Columbia, and it was empty. It was vacated. It was actually being leased to another church that was starting. And so the Lord just began to put all the pieces together, right? Supernaturally. And so we started meeting here in the summer of 2010, and the Assemblies of God, the District of the Assemblies of God, covered all the expenses because we had no finances whatsoever, very little, you know, that group of people that we had. And they helped us, and churches came from all over South Carolina. They painted the walls. My brother came from Florida and redid this entire roof, the ceiling, I mean. But churches came and they did landscaping and they painted and they helped us build the stage and the sound booth and all of that. I mean, they gave of themselves. They gave money, probably about $15,000 churches gave into Vive Church. The district probably gave us about $80,000 total as they covered bills and things for us to get this thing going. And then Vive Church was launched. And this vision, this dream that God put inside of my heart, I remember that first Sunday as I was up here preaching, I was looking out, I was like, wow, This is exactly what God put inside of my heart. You know, when we came to Columbia, one thing that I said, God, I want our church to look like our community. I want it to look like our community. And it does. I didn't want a white church. I wanted a church that reflected our community. And God answered that prayer. There were a bunch of things that happened in the early stages when we first came back to Columbia. One was, you know, I remember, and some of you heard this story before, I was driving up I-77. It was raining. I'll never forget it. It's burned in my memory. And I was just having this talk with God, this wrestling match, because I was like, you know, thinking, you know, okay, here we are. We're back in Columbia to start this church. There's no, like, manual on here. You know, day one, do this and have all this. I mean, you probably could come up with some of that, but I don't roll too well with those kind of things. And so I was like, God, what do we do? What is this church supposed to be all about? What's it supposed to look like? What's it supposed to feel like? What's the culture supposed to be? What's all, you know, and I'm just wrestling through that because there's so many things that a church can look like and feel like and sound like, right? Some of you have been to different churches, you know, and that was wrestling with God, and I was like, what do we do? What do we just, you know, because I know how to do church because I've been on staff. I've been a youth pastor at two different churches. So I know how to do church, but I really don't know how to be the church. I think a lot of pastors know how to do church, but they don't know how to be the church. And I said, God, I don't want to do church. I want to be the church. And I want our church to look like that and feel like that. And so what are we supposed to do? And I remember the Lord said, I didn't call you to make bad people good or good people better. I called you to bring people to life. And it just hit me. I was like, wow. I knew that was the Lord. It wasn't audible, but it was so clear. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And it just something that reverberated. It resonated inside of my heart. And out of that came bringing people to life. You see it everywhere, right? And then came Vive Church. Vive is a Latin word, means to live or life. I just believe with all of my heart that Jesus meant what he said when he said, I came that you would have life and live it to the fullest. He didn't come to make a bunch of religious people. As a matter of fact, when you look at Jesus, he didn't get along with religious people. And so I knew what God was calling us to start. I didn't know exactly all the pieces. I didn't know exactly how everything would work out, but we jumped in and we did it, and God has done some amazing things. And in the 10 years that we've been together as a church, I've had the opportunity here in this building to speak into thousands, literally thousands of people's lives. I've been able to be pastor to so many people. Some are probably watching online this morning that have moved away. I know that we have several that are very faithful. They were a part of this church and came to the Lord and began their faith journey at this church. And so we've had the opportunity to speak into thousands of people's lives. We've seen over 1,000 people respond to an invitation to follow Jesus. That's a lot of people. I get it. You know, some of them aren't following Jesus today, and some of them are struggling in following Jesus today. But they responded and they wanted to follow Jesus. It starts there. It starts there with all of us, right? This faith journey. But we had the opportunity to help them take that first step. We've baptized believers. We've dedicated babies. We've married couples, right? Reuben and Mary and some others that are here this morning. We've given over $100,000 to missions, church planting, and outreaches. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's probably well over $100,000. So we've seen a lot of things happen. It's been exciting. And when you look at the future and when you talk about the future, it's hard not to look back at the past. It's hard not to look back at the things that are good and the things that God has done, right? But this year at Vive has been a year of transition, a lot of transition, a lot of questions. For those of you who've been here some 8, 9, 10, Anthony. 7, 6, 5. You've seen Vive in different stages and different seasons. And this year's been a season of transition. There's been a lot of painful things that have happened this year. There's a lot of stuff that makes us wonder, wow, what's going on? But I tell you, what happens when there's transition, and maybe you've experienced that in your own life this year. Maybe you've gone through some transition, and maybe there's been some loss. There's been some pain that's happened in your life. And I know, just like in your life, it happens in the life of a church, it causes you to question, what is it that matters most? When I go through transition, when I go through loss and I've experienced that in the past, and you tend to ask yourself, what is it that matters most? Or you get caught up in the loss and the pain and you become a casualty. I hope that's not the case. I think by the fact that you're here, that's not your story. But we ask ourselves, what is it that matters most? I want to focus on what it is that matters most in life. Because sometimes when we get rattled, sometimes when our cage gets rattled, we tend to focus in on what is it that's most valuable. Let me ask you that question this morning. Also, just real quick, you can go onto the app and you can get onto the notes for today. We're actually going to have a little bit of interaction and some stuff that it would be good for you to write down. So you can do that in your notes, and then you can email them to yourself later. But what is it that's valuable to you? What is it? What's most valuable to you? And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about what's most valuable to Vive Church. I didn't want to come this morning and just give you a list of, hey, here's all the changes that are happening to Vive. There's obviously some things that we are going to do that we feel like the Holy Spirit is leading us into, and we'll talk about some of those today, but I didn't just want to give you a list of all those things. I want to talk about what's most valuable, and I want to talk about why we're doing things that are most valuable to us as a church. And I also want to weave in over the next 6 weeks, how does that apply to your life? How does that affect you? What is it that's most valuable to you? Now, I know that it seems like to say the word resolution is a joke, right? So we don't say, what's our New Year's resolution? Does anybody, still make resolutions? I'm sure we do. So what we're saying this morning is goals, right? How many of you set goals? Some of your arms are still broken. If you have no goal, then you have no idea what you're doing tomorrow, right? Just like, my schedule's open. Well, I can fill it for you, all right? So those of you who don't have goals for this week, I got something for you. But we do set goals. We do look forward to the future. We do make plans. And this morning, I want to talk about focusing on what matters most. So how many of you have set some goals for 2020? Eh? You know what's a great exercise? And I'm going to help you with it this morning. It's really a great exercise to sit down and think it through and actually write out your goals. And we're going to do that in just a little bit. But it's very healthy because it causes you to separate what's important and what's not important. Because we can get really distracted by things that are not important. If you just wake up in the morning and say, hey, whatever the schedule's gonna be, it's gonna be, right? I'm feeling like going to work today, or I'm not feeling like, nobody does that, right? I hope not. But we have some goals, we have some direction. It's very healthy to sit down and say, here's what I would like to see happen this year. And it's good to have some of those goals that are realistic, right? Like when I was sitting down doing my goals, and we were talking, I was talking with Robin a little bit about it this morning. One of the things, like we want to spend more time with our kids and with our grandkids, but our kids are grown now. And so I can't tell my son-in-law and my daughter, you will be here on Monday night for, they'd be like, yeah, right. I can't tell my son and daughter-in-law with my grandkids to say, yeah, you're going to be. So I have to be realistic. Yes, I would love to spend more time, but they're kind of in control of their schedules, and I hope that blends. But there's some things that I can control. I can control mine and Robin's schedule. And so, there's actually quite a few, but one of my goals is to have fun and to build memories with Robin, which we do. You know, Robin and I both are fun. We like to have fun. And so I've got scheduled out. How many get your vacations scheduled out, right? Shelly, where are you at? I was like, of course. You probably have 5 years from now scheduled out. You're way ahead of me. But I've got my vacation figured out. Me, I'm not even a planner, you know, but I'm like, oh, we got, you know, carve out these dates. I've got trips planned. I've got things happening, and I've already started, you know. I tell you, it's amazing because you can see real quick, oh, I need to start making a little extra money, you know. I need to start saving. We need to cut back on the budget. So we started talking about we need to get back on our budget and start trimming things, right, because we want to have some fun. But goals are healthy. Writing them down is healthy. And so this morning, I really encourage you. There's a pen in the chair in front of you, hopefully, or just steal one from your wife's purse. And we're going to write down some goals. Maybe we'll just get started, get the conversation going. But goals are healthy. Personal goals, relational goals, right? Family goals. If your children are still young enough and you can tell them, hey, you're going to be here, then set some goals, right? Do some things. Build some memories. Maybe you have goals for your business or for your work and your career. Hopefully you do. It's such a big part of our lives. Hopefully your goal is not to just show up, right? But what are your goals? Write those things down. As we're talking this morning, write them down. And we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service because I want us to be able to write some things down and to focus on what matters most, right? So this year at Vive, one of the things that we're focusing on is building community. We have a great Sunday morning experience. We have a great worship team. Sarah does an amazing job. Our production team, all of our serve teams. We have just a great thing going on Sunday morning where this is just a great time of family reunion, but it is hard to develop spiritual community and deep relationships on a Sunday morning, right? Because you're all looking at me, I'm the talking head, and you're looking at the back of someone's head, and you had a few minutes to greet them, but you really don't know much about their life. We want to develop spiritual community. And one of the things that we're going to do this year, starting at the end of this month, is we're going to start on Wednesday nights something called group church. We're going to meet together for a meal because I think food is very important, right? You can tell by my slim physique. I just think something happens over a meal. There is, the Bible calls fellowship. And the Greek word is koinonia. It's a doing life together. It's sharing life with one another. And man, when I share a meal with somebody, it's amazing the conversations that you get into. And I want to see spiritual community. Now, we're not just going to have dinner together. But after dinner, we're going to gather together for a real brief moment and exhort, just a word of exhortation, just a few minutes, and then we're going to break off into different groups. We've got men's groups and women's groups and married couples groups and parenting groups and kids groups, and you know, we've got group, you know, all kinds of things that you can be a part of, that you can connect with people and learn the word of God. So it's not just about eating together and getting to know one another, but it's also about discovering what the Word of God says about who we are and whose we are, right? And we learn the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But you got to know the truth first, right? And so we're gonna dive into God's Word and into different areas. Things, some are going to be very practical. Some are going to be more theological. Some, there's going to be a prayer group. So there's going to be opportunity for you to connect together around a group. And those groups will change. So they may be for 6 weeks, and then there's another group, and it gives you a lot of flexibility. It gives you a lot of opportunity to learn God's word, but it's an opportunity for us to build spiritual community. I think that's one thing that we're desperately lacking. Now, when you know, this is a great idea, and this is a goal that God put inside of my heart, but how many of you know when you have goals, there's always challenges, right? Now, I could sit up here or stand up here this morning and say, my goal is to lose 30 pounds, which it really is. You're like, yeah, you need that. But, you know, my goal is to lose 30 pounds. But, you know, there's challenges. One of them I encountered last night when Robin came home from work. She brought donuts. That was a challenge. And I ate one. I just removed that challenge from my life. Just tore it right up. But there's challenges that we have when we set goals. Things don't happen necessarily easily. They don't all fall into place, right? When you schedule, when you plan out a vacation, Shelly, you know, you got kids that you got to, you know, like kids don't always go with the plan, you know? They're not always smiling every morning when you get like, all right, day one, we're going to go here. They're like, I'm tired. You know, and so sometimes we encounter challenges. And some of our challenges that we're looking at with our group church is needs participation. You know, it's an opportunity for you to be involved and to invest in people's lives. We've got a lot that have said, hey, I want to lead a small group. I want to be a part of that. And if that's something the Lord's put in your heart, this is an opportunity for you. We've got a lot of people, and so we're not like knocking on everyone's doors. But if you've got something that you feel like the Lord's put on your heart that you want to share, a study, then we want you to be a part of that. Because also part of this year of what we want to see happen is leadership development. I want to help people grow. I believe it's my calling, my responsibility as a pastor to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to develop leaders. Now, some of you are like, yes, I've been waiting for that. I want to be a leader. 95% of you are like, right? I don't want to lead anything. I just want to be there. I don't even know if I want to be there. Am I knocking on your door? Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Leadership is influence. Obviously, God wants every one of us to be an influencer. He has strategically placed you where you are, whether it's in your job, your neighborhood, your school, all of our young people. You know, leadership doesn't start when you turn 18 years old or 20, 21, whatever. It starts now. God wants to develop you. He wants to develop you into an influencer and see you make a difference. One of the areas of leadership that I'm really excited about is in our kids' church. And we have something that's starting that's called Kids Corps, which is leadership development for our young kids, our fourth and fifth graders, primarily focused on fifth graders, but some fourth graders, and then even some sixth graders that are kind of holdovers, you know, they say, hey, I don't want to leave here yet. And so it's developing leaders everywhere from our kids to our youth to our adults. How many of you noticed that there's an apartment complex being built next to Vive Church? It's a subtle thing. Yeah, they've been very discreet about it. I'm joking. You know, it's like, whoa, hello. I've heard around 600 units. I may be off, but there's a lot of apartments. I'm going to drive back there and do some snooping. But we actually have a great relationship with this apartment complex. I believe the name is Killian Crossings. And so we have a great relationship that's already started. We gave them access to put their sewage lines in, which was saved them probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, because if not, they would have had to have a pump station to pump it uphill, and that's a lot of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And so they were able to put their pipes in. That's why all the trees are missing, and we get to see our friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses, every week now, and which we are friendly. They don't wave back, but they think we're a cult. Little do they know. We gave them access, and because we did that, they kind of like us, okay? We're kind of in with them. They did give us a little piece of land back in the back corner that we'll probably never do anything with except allow birds and deer to walk on it. But not much you can do with it. But it gave us an inroad to the management, to the owner, the developer that's involved with this project. And so we are being very strategic and very intentional about reaching the folks that live there. We want them to know that Jesus loves them. And so in the next year, We've got some things. They've already asked us if we could help them with some events and things. And so we're being very strategic about that. And, you know, God didn't put them there for us to ignore them, right? The last thing we want to do is just be an island to ourselves and kind of hold the fort. One thing that God put in my heart when we started Vive Church was that, you know, this would be a church that if it ceased to exist, that the community would be up in arms about. They would be like, what's going on? What happened to that church? And you can't do that unless you're involved in the community. And so what we do here on Sunday morning is great, and it's meaningful. And what we do on Wednesday night is going to be awesome and building those relationships, but it can't stop there. It's got to go beyond our walls, and it will. We definitely will do that. The church is the greatest rescue mission that the world has ever seen. God does amazing things through his church, and the church is not this building. The church is you and I. The word church, we've translated from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out ones. You and I are the church. When we gather together corporately, collectively, and when we worship together, and when we share life together, we are the church. And God does amazing things through his church. It's the greatest rescue mission the world has ever seen. I mean, I don't know. I know church is kind of my thing. You know, I think about it all the time. I know that some of you, you know, you've got so much going on in your life and your business and all these different things. But let me tell you a little bit about the church. You know, through the church, so much has happened in this world. I know that sometimes you look at our culture and they kind of try to, you know, pit, you know, religious groups against one another. I mean, sometimes people get down on the church because crazy things happen sometimes in churches. But through the church, I'm talking about the people of God, amazing things have happened in this world. Hospitals have been built. Schools have been built. I'm not talking about just a few. I'm talking about the church was the reason there were hospitals. The church was the reason that there were schools. Now I know the government has kind of taken over and, you know, wealthy people take, but it started with the church. There's so much that has happened through the church. It was never God's intention for the government to take care of people. It was his intention for the church. And sometimes we can relegate our responsibility and say, you know, they'll get help from this person or that group. But it's the church. God does amazing things through his people. And our greatest challenge, though, is not the uncertainty of the future. You know, when we look at challenges that we have and as we set goals and we try to move forward, our biggest challenge is not the uncertainty of the future. I believe our greatest challenge is our past. Isaiah 43:16-19, some of you are wondering, like, is he ever going to bring a verse of scripture? Here it is. Reiner, we call him Reiner. It's stuck in our head. His name's Reiner. I mentioned this verse a little bit last week, but let me read it for you. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together and lay them, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, some of you are wondering, what is he talking about? Is this like poetry? He's talking about an event in history that happened to the people of God. As they were coming out of Egypt, as God had was rescuing them and calling them out of slavery, literally. And he was using Moses to bring them out of this slavery that they had been under in Egypt. And part of that rescue mission, they had to go through the sea. The waters parted. Some of you, you know, you probably heard the story. And when the waters parted, they were able to walk through on dry land. It was an amazing miracle of deliverance, and the Jewish people still celebrate it to this day, passionately. And so they experienced this mighty deliverance from God. It wasn't something that man could orchestrate. It's not something they were able to do on their own. They didn't get their most skilled carpenters like Jimmy to build a bunch of boats and, hey, let's get all the folks across, because there were over a million people. Some estimate several million people. And how were they going to get away from the armies of Egypt? How were they going to escape and be free? And God provided this mighty miracle. It was amazing. And when the Jewish people would talk about it, there would be such this feeling of excitement and passion towards God because of what he had did in the past. What happened? It was just an amazing thing. And so he's reminding them. This is hundreds and hundreds of years later. Isaiah is reminding the people of God. You remember? The Lord says, he's the one who did all this. Here's what the Lord says. Verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So you're saying, this God who delivered us, this God who did amazing things, wow, this was crazy awesome. God, you deliver us. And the Jewish people would look back at that event, and they would remember it, and they would celebrate it. He says, forget the former things. Forget that. Don't dwell on the past. Why? Verse 19, see, I'm doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I think one of our greatest challenges to reaching and achieving the goals in our life is not the uncertainty of the future, but I think it's the experiences of the past. I think it's the things that we've gone through. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Philippians 3. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If we're gonna move forward and not just as a church, but individually, as God puts goals on your heart, as you have desires in your heart, you say, you know what? This is what I want to do this year. I want to go on a vacation with my family. I want to do something I've never done before. I want to get a new job. I want to branch out in a new career. This thing that God's been stirring in my heart. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart, whatever it is, the goal that you have, if you're going to reach it, if you're going to get close to it, you got to let go of the past. Now, I think we got to focus on what matters most and forget what doesn't. We got to focus on what matters most and forget what doesn't, right? What is it that matters most to you? If you don't think about it, if you never take time to ponder it, we just kind of go through life. You ever feel like that? You just feel like you look back at the year and say, wow, where'd that year go? And man, that was out of control. And I'll be honest with you, this past year for me, I felt like I was chasing the ball the whole time. Because of the way the year started and because of the thing, I just felt like I was, and I said, Lord, this is not how I want to live my life. Now, I'm realistic. I know that every goal I set is not going to happen, and not everybody's going to cooperate with my goals, and I get all that. And so I try to be realistic in what I set and what I plan to do. But what is most important to you? Vive Church is important to me. But even more importantly than Vive Church is my wife. But Vive Church is important to her too. What's important to you? My family is important to me. Maybe your career is important. I hope your faith is important to you. I hope that your marriage, your family, I hope those things are important to you. I hope Vive Church is important to you. Maybe your stuff is important to you. Right? We all have stuff. And you have to maintain your stuff. Maybe that's important. That's not a bad thing. Take care of the stuff. God's entrusted it to you. Whether it's a house, a car, a motorcycle, whatever. God's entrusted those things. Take care of it. See, we tend to get distracted, though, by things that really don't matter. We get distracted by those things. That's why we got to focus on what matters most and forget what doesn't. See, letting go of the past when it comes to the painful past is like a no-brainer, right? How many of you want to let go of last year's pain? Hey, all of us, right? I don't want to relive that. It's gone. You know, it's a little easier to say than do because sometimes there's unforgiveness, and we'll get into that later on in the series. But, you know, there's things you deal with. But the eagerness to let go of the painful past is it's like, yes, I want to let it go. Don't want to go there again. But how about when things are good? It's really hard to let go when things are good. And that's why God was saying to the people of Israel, his children, he was saying, listen, I get it. I delivered you from the Egyptians. It was an amazing day. I still remember it. It was awesome. It was one of my best days. This is God talking. But guess what? Get over it. Let it go. Because I want to do something new in your life. As a young person, I used to read the Bible, I hear pastors preach on the Bible and talk about the stories in the Bible and what Peter did and what James did and John did and, you know, what Paul did and what all these things were like, wow, you know, what about me? What am I supposed to do? And get, you know, listen, let's move forward. Let's do the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something new in your life, and it's hard, though, to let go of what is good. I think it's the thing that holds us back the most. It's like we try to recreate the good past. We have this conversation all the time, Robin and I. We try to recreate the past when it's good, when it's fun, and man, it was great. Like vacation 2.0. How many have, come on, let's be honest. I mean, you had a great vacation, and you're like, we're trying to recreate that. We've been trying to recreate that thing for 20 years. Get over it. It was a great vacation. It was a great memory. Quit trying to redo it. Because some of you are on like vacation 3.0. Like 2.0 didn't work. Let's try 3.0. Just do a new thing. You know, we had some great experiences when our kids were younger. I've got a son and a daughter. And we had four-wheelers. Robin had one. I had one. The kids had one. We'd go camping. We'd ride four. We had so much fun, you know. But guess what? Those days are over. I don't even want to own a four-wheeler. My kids are like, hey, let's get four-wheelers. Like, no. Get over it. God's doing a new thing. It's called rental. I don't want to maintain it. Right? Things we learn, right? Some of you are trying to recreate honeymoon 2.0. Ouch. He's doing a new thing. No, I'm not talking about a new wife. Just clarify that. Quit trying to recreate stuff. That could be very destructive in your life. Especially if you had a sexual experience when you were younger. And you're trying to recreate that in your marriage, but you weren't married. It can get really ugly. We won't talk about that tonight, but we'll... or today. But how about college years 2.0? Some of you just need to grow up. Come on. Just come on. Job 2.0. Like I had that great. God's doing a new thing. Let's discover. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I want to join you in what you're doing. I want to let go of those things. I want to forget those things. I want to focus on what matters most. Thank God for the experiences. Thank him for those things, those great times, but let go of it. If it's painful, it's hard to thank God for those things, isn't it? But there's some things he's teaching you through it. There's some things that at some point, if you'll let it go, there's some things that you'll be able to look back and say, wow, wouldn't have picked it for myself, but I'm glad I went through it. And so let it go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. And it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What are you going to focus on this year? Real quick, I just want to close with this. What are you going to focus on? And I want you to do something that this is a little bit of participation. If you're not on the app, if you're on the app, you see there's a section under each one of these things I'm going to mention where you can fill out some things and you can make some notes. You know, what are your goals? But if you're not on the app, take that pen. Would you do this? Would you just say, you know, what is it that's most important? What are some goals? What am I going to focus on this year? Am I going to focus on my family? Am I going to focus on my career? Am I going to focus on my faith? Am I going to focus on friendships and relationships? Man, how many of you know friendships just don't happen? They take work, right? They take work. And we'll talk more about this later, but, you know, they take work. And just when you think you got something good going on, your friend just unleashes their baggage on you, and you're like, ugh, new friend. But it's when you work through baggage with friends that relationship has depth. It takes work, you know. Are you going to focus on friendship? Are you going to focus on, what is it? Write them down. Real quick, and I know this, we never do this, but I want to, just real quick, somebody share one of their goals this year. Shelly, why don't you start us out? Because you're already on it. Where are we going this year?
I got three cruises.
Whoa! Key. I'll carry your bags. Cedric, what's your goal?
Family and then my career.
All right. Anyone else? Emily, who is that?
20-pound bike.
All right. Can we hold you accountable? No, I'm not going to. I tried that with my wife one time. I said, I'll be your Jenny Craig. It worked one time. I almost got killed. Don't do it, guys. Trying to save a buck, let her go. All right. Anybody else? Some goals? I like that, though. It creates accountability. Because when we see you, we're going to be like, put that donut down. No, we won't do that. I won't do that. But see, just by me saying, you know what, I want to lose 30 pounds, it creates accountability to me. You know, so when I share things like that, it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to stand up and just say, you know, you're just throwing things out. You know, I got to work at it, right? What are some of your goals? Right. All right. Would you stand with me? Focus on what matters most and forget what doesn't. This series, we're going to talk about what matters most. Next week, we're going to get into talking about relationships and dive into the nitty-gritty of relationships. And hopefully, we're going to learn some things. I'm going to do my best to teach you some things about relationships and what does the Bible say and, you know, that. But we're going to get some tools on how to live this thing out. We're going to talk a little bit about family as well. A lot of different things in relationships. But if you haven't, you know, if you wrote some things down or you started to write some things down, would you just continue this process when you get some time? Today, tomorrow, this week, write down some goals and share them with somebody. If you let people know, there's accountability then. Amen? Father, thank you for the time that we've had together this morning. Been a little different, but we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. You're doing a new thing. And as good as the past is and as good as our experiences have been, you're doing a new thing. And we celebrate that. And we look forward to that. Help us to focus on those things. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.